Good morning, everybody. We are on Dalet Amud Beis. We are continuing our discussion about things that are muksa, things that are nolad. We have a very interesting gemara to start off the shir today. The great Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We are Dalet Amud Beis, fourth line from the top. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eitzim Shenishru Min Adekel B'Shabbos. So let's say you have branches that fall off a tree on the Holy Shabbos. So the Gemara says clearly, Asur lahatzikin b'yom tov. Okay? You cannot utilize those branches on Yom Tov. Remember, it's Shabbos followed by Yom Tov. So they fell off the branch on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, you can't use this. Who was the author of this statement? I'm glad you said that. The great Rabbi Yochanan. Why is that significant? Because yesterday, Rabbi Yochanan said, if it was nolad bezeh, mutter bezeh. And here he's saying, nolad bezeh on Shabbos, asur bezeh on Yom Tov. And he says, v'al tishiveni beitza, and don't come hakachainik and tell me about beitza. Don't ask me akasha. What's the chilik? What's the distinction? What's the difference between the beitza that was born on Shabbos, that's permissible Yom Tov after Shabbos, versus this tree, that branch that fell off a tree, that on Shabbos, that it becomes still asur on Yom Tov? Says the Gemara, "My taima, what's the reason?" He says, "Beitza, mishum di biyom enami echazel agoma," because he says the beitza, it could be swallowed whole on Shabbos, and v'loy kasharile, and the reason why I'm not permitting you to eat the egg on Shabbos, made the yoda de bas yom asur, because I'm going to know that on that day it's asur, whether it's Shabbos, whether it's Yom Tov. Okay? He says, it doesn't make a difference. You're going to know it's going to be asur. Debas yom asur. Eitzim. You know eitzim wood. Delo chazal yomayhu. You can't have it on Shabbos no matter what. Not because of muktzah, but what else can't you do on Shabbos? You can't stoke fire on Shabbos. So you're going to say to yourself, you know why I can't use this wood on Shabbos? Not because it's muktzah, but because I can't start a fire. Right? He says, when it comes to wood, delo chazil yomar, isharilu, if I would permit it on Sunday, Yom Tov, after Shabbos, lemacher, isharilu lemacher, as lememer, biyom enam ishari. I will say, on Yom Tov itself, if the wood fell off the tree on Yom Tov, that would also be permissible. Oh, biyom enam ishari. So therefore, the esmol and yesterday mishum Shabbosu de lo chazu lahasaka, and the reason why the wood wasn't allowed on Shabbos was not because of muksa, but only because of Shabbos. Therefore, even if Yom Tov falls out after Shabbos, he says it is prohibited to show us the severity of the isra of muksa. Again, review. Fascinating case. By an egg, Yom Tov that falls after Shabbos is going to be permissible. When it comes to wood, the wood that fell off the tree on Shabbos is going to be asur Yom Tov. What's the distinction between the egg and the wood? He says, egg on Shabbos theoretically would be permissible. So when it's asur, I know it's alts muksa. So I know the world of muksa. A wood, which would be asur on Shabbos, not only because of muksa, but because of Hilchot Shabbos, namely, I can't burn something. So therefore, I might come to say, what? That the reason why I can't have it on Yom Tov is because of what? Is because I might say it's only usher because of that, and I wouldn't even recognize the concept of muksa. Therefore, I even ban it Yom Tov after Shabbos to introduce the concept of muksa and let me know that if it fell on Yom Tov, it would be usher just because it fell on Yom Tov. Okay, that is the beautiful answer of Yochanan. Okay, now the Gemara is going to talk about a new case by Isra Muksa, by wood that fell off of a tree on Shabbos or a Yom Tov, if he's going to bring an additional din of this. Amar of Masna. Eitzim shenishru min adekel. Once again, you have wood that falls off of a date tree. Letoch hatonah b'Yom Tov. And serendipitously, you know what serendipitously means? By good fortune, it fell right into the oven on Yom Tov, which you're allowed, if it wasn't for new wood, but you're allowed to switch around the fire and play with the fire on Yom Tov. So now you have a fire that's going, and you have wood that fell off of a tree on Yom Tov directly into the oven. So So what's the status? We know that this wood is not only muksa, but it's also nolad. So what do? So he says, marba aleim eitzim muchanim. You add on additional pieces of wood, umasikin, and you put them all together, and you could use it. Because what have you done? You've taken usher stuff, and you've taken mutter stuff. You've overwhelmed the usher stuff with mutter stuff, and now you've made the oven mutter. Says the Gemara, but wait, how could you do that? When you stoke the coals in the wood, you're touching stuff that is usher. Because why is it usher? Alts the concept of muksa. Says the Gemara, no. Kiven de ruba de heterin, since the majority of the wood in the oven comes from mutter logs, the halach is ki kamahapech beheter kamahapech. When you're flipping the stone, the wood around, you're flipping around that which is permissible stuff. Just shows you a big insight. What's the insight? There are two ways of saying bitl berov. We could understand bitl berov, that things become nullified in the majority because you're playing an odds game. Right, I have in front of me things that are permissible and things that are usher. So I'm allowed to take that which is from that mixture because the assumption is that since the majority is permissible, I'm allowed to take that which is permissible and eat it because I'm allowed to take from that pile because the assumption is I'm going to wind up getting something that is permissible. That's one way. The other way is that since the majority is mutter, it changes that which is usher to that which is mutter. So it sounds like from this Gemara, ki kamahapich v'hetera kamahapich, it's no longer usher, those logs that fell off the tree. Very important piece of lamdas. Says the Gemara and asks, ay, v'hakam avatal isur l'chatchila. Wait! How could you add on wood to that which is prohibited? There's a concept of bitl, yes. But I'll give you an example. Let's say milk falls into chalant, and it's not 1/60th. So that chalant becomes prohibited because they're basar b'chalav. You can't just dump in more meat that it should pass the ratio of 1/60th and go to 1/61st. Because that's what's called mevatel iser lechatchil. You're nullifying the iser ideally. If there happens to be more meat than 1/60th of the milk, you're allowed to have that unit. But you can't increase the mixture to have more usser than heter. Another example. Let's say some treifa gets into, let's say it's a ratio of 1 to 30 of treif in my coffee. So I can't drink my coffee. So you can't just say, okay, I'll just keep pouring in more coffee, more water to eliminate it. Can't do that. If treif falls into coffee less than a 60th, then I could have my coffee. But I can't add more coffee to it. Says the Gemara, how could you just take more wood and put more wood in it to make it permissible? One of the most important principles we're going to learn in this entire Masechta. You can't nullify Yisrael L'chatchila, ideally. It can only happen if it's B'di'evet. Says the Gemara, Usnan, and we learned in the Mishnayis and Trumas, Ein Mevatlin Yisrael L'chatchila. So the Gemara says, Honey Mili. Whenever you have a Honey Mili, that traditionally means we're going to qualify. When do we say Ein Mevatlin Yisrael L'chatchila? Honey Mili, these words. What does Honey Mili mean? It means these words. It means the words of Ein Mevatlin Yisrael L'chatchila, which is qualifying the principle of Ein Mevatlin Yisrael L'chatchila, only applies when? De'araisa. That's only when it comes to a daraisa iser. Aval b'derabanan, but it comes from derabanan. If it's a case of derabanan, we can mivatlin. And what is our case when the tree falls off of the, when a branch falls off of the tree and it becomes muksa, it becomes mixed together with the other stuff? What kind of case is that? That's a case of derabanan. Why is it derabanan? Because we're talking about a case of muksa. And muksa is derabanan. And since muksa is derabanan, therefore, even on the normal circumstances, in the case of derabanans, we do say mevatlin iser lechatchila. Okay, then the Gemara comes, wait a second, I'm surprised nobody asked me this kasha from the Gemara we learned earlier. Yes, we have the principle of bittul, but there is a stop. There is a situation in which we don't say bittul, we don't nullify an iser object in the tarovis, and that is something called a davar sheish lo matirin. Who remembers what a davar sheish lo matirin is? Yes, Aviel.
It's like a really special thing that wouldn't get nullified.
It would. Why wouldn't it get nullified?
Yeah. Because it was
kamux are on Shabbos.
And therefore?
And therefore, you could use it after Shabbos.
Yeah! This is a Davishalim here, is this will become permissible in the future. Meaning, all we have to do, we don't have to nullify it. We nullify something if it never will become Aser. Never become butter. But here, this piece of wood will become permissible right after Yontif. So why do we have to work on the principle of Bittel? It's a Davish Sheish L'Matirin according to Rav Ashi. It's a Davish Sheish L'Matirin according to everybody. But according to Rav Ashi, he holds, if it's a Davish Sheish L'Matirin, if it's that which has become permissible, it's going to become permissible, therefore Bittel shouldn't apply. Frakti Gemara Kasha, Ulav Ashi, Dabar Kol Davish L'Matirin, Afilu Duravan and Lo Batil, even Midurabanan should become nullified. So Ma'ik L'Mever, what could one say here? So again, we have to qualify Rav Ashi's principle. When do we say a davar sheyesh lo matirin is not going to become nullified? Hani mili hechad isa lisur be'enei. That's if the iser item remains intact. But here, is the iser item going to remain intact? No, because what am I doing to the iser item? I'm burning it. Very good. Hacha makle kali isur asir. The wood is going to be consumed. And the hana, the benefit comes after the object is no longer in existence. Meaning, if the wood would remain in existence, I couldn't put it on fire. If I couldn't put it on fire, I wouldn't be getting hana. So when do I get the hana? Fakir, it's when the piece of wood is gone. So this is the exception to the case. Okay, there's no such thing as a coincidence in this world. You know that. There's a coincidence. We're now going to learn, right before all the Yom Tovim, about what is the status of the 2 days of Yom Tov in the Golis. Amazing. And then, tomorrow, we'll get to the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, how they differ from the 2 days. So Hashem is amazing, right? This is right before Rosh Hashanah. This is exactly what some rabbis are going to get up and speak about in shul over these coming weeks. Itmar! We learned. Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Golios. The 2 days of Yom Tov of the Golis. People sometimes read this and they say that these are the 2 days of Yom Tov that belong to David's nemesis, Golias. Okay, but that's a terrible joke. Anyway, the halacha is, Rav Amar Nolda Bezeh Muteres Bezeh. Let's say Sukkot is Monday, Tuesday, like this year. If an egg was born on Monday, it is permissible on Tuesday, according to Rav. Rav Asi Amar Nolda Bezeh Asura Bezeh. Rav Asi says, if the egg was Noilad on Monday, the egg becomes prohibited on Tuesday. So says the Gemara Lema Kasava Rav Asi. Let us say Rav Asi says Nolad Bezeh Aser Bezeh. He holds it's what's called Kedusha Achasi. He holds it's one large Kedusha. And therefore, even though the egg was Nolad on Monday, it's Aser on Tuesday. Why? Because it's one long day. It's one long Kedusha. Says the Gemara, how could you say Rav Asi says that? Ay, Varav Asi Mavnil Mayomatov Lechavre. You know what Rav Asi did between Monday and Tuesday? He made Avdallah. He made Avdallah. So if he makes Avdallah, what does Avdallah show? The separation between day one and day two. So if he separates day one and day two, the egg that was born on Monday should be permissible on Tuesday because based on what's called the Miman of Shach. Either Monday is a weekday and Tuesday is Yom Tov, that will be permissible, or Monday is Yom Tov and Tuesday is a Chol, then it should be permissible. That's what's called Miman of Shach. Either way. So says the Gemara, you know why Rav Asi made Havdalah? Says the Gemara, Rav Asi Sfuke Misafgalei. He didn't know if it was one Kedusha or two Kedushas. He was Misupik. You know what Misupik means? He was in doubt. He didn't know if it was one Kedusha or two Kedushas. So he did everything L'chumrah. And one of the Chumras he did was he made Havdalah between Monday and Tuesday to separate, but possibly it was two. So he just did everything he possibly can. And therefore, Al Tzafik, Rav Asi made two chumras. That a beitzah that was born on Monday is also on Tuesday, and it could be there were two separate days, and therefore he made Avdallah between the two to cover himself on both ends. Okay, the Gemara then brings another opinion between this Machlekes Rav and Rav Asi as to whether or not an egg born on Monday of Yom Tov is permissible on the second day of Yom Tov on Tuesday. Amrav Zever, Kavase de Rav Asi Mistavra. The logic of Rav Asi is logical, is impeccable. Why? Da'idna today, in the year 2022, Yad'inan Bekfi Yarcha. We know what day is Yom Tov. Meaning in the olden days, they didn't know what day Yom Tov was going to be, and they had to make 2 days because we didn't know when the Eidah were going to show up. We'll see what that means tomorrow. We don't know. But today, I could tell you what day Rosh Hashanah is going to be. I could tell you what day Sukkot is going to be. I know already what day Tesvav Tishrei is going to be. Back in the olden days, they determined the days of the month when they saw the new moon. Today, I can tell you when the new moon is going to be for the next thousands of years. Va'idna, today, the yadina b'kvi yadiyacha, v'kadina treyome, and yet we make 2 days. So we see klar that the Chacham have established this for generations, even today. There's no doubt, right? There's no, even though today there's no doubt, so therefore these 2 days are considered one long day. That's the jump he makes. Because we know exactly when the day is, and yet we make it 2 days, so we see we don't keep these 2 days out of a doubt necessarily, but they've been established as a 2-day yomtiv. And therefore, neilad b'zeh should be asr b'zeh. So Abai disagrees. He says, kavasi de rav mistavra. It's logical like rav, that if it's born on the first day, it's asr on, it's going to be mutter on the second day of yomtiv, disnan, because we learned in the Mishnayis and Rosh Hashanah, b'rishon, initially, before we got messed up by the goyim, hayu masin masuos. You know how they used to notify the cities as to what day Rosh Chodesh was? They used to go on top of a mountain. If the Edom came to Yerushalayim and testified about the new moon, they used to go on top of a mountain and like take torches and swing them around. And then it would go from mountain to mountain to mountain to mountain to mountain to mountain. And then everybody would get notified about the new moon. But what happened was, is the Goyim got wind of this, so they started playing games and they started doing it. So they messed us up. So we couldn't rely on that particular system. So you have Masiyah Mesuyas. But Misha Kilkalu Akutim, when the Goyim messed us up, the Kutim messed us up, Heskinushi Shluchin Yotim, we used to send Shluchim into the Gullus. We used to send messengers into the Gullus to notify everything. Right? But, says the Gemara, but Abai made the following diuk. V'ilu Bitlu Kutim, let's say the Goyim stopped doing what they were doing. Avdin and Chad Yom, we would make 1 day of Yontif. The only reason why we have 2 days of Yontif is because the Kusim would do that and the Shluchim wouldn't be able to get to the Gullus. So Alta Safik, right? Let's say you lived in Bavel. The Edom wouldn't get there in time. So therefore we had no choice but to keep 2 days. But if we could rely on the torch system, we would taka keep 1 day. We Avdin and Vehechad Matu, Shluchim, and wherever the Shluchim get, what do? Avdin and Chad Yom, we'd only keep 1 day. So you see that the 2 days is not really a thing. It's really 1 day. So if it's really 1 day, that means Nola Bezeh should be Asr the Zeh. So the Gemara then asks a question. Wait a second. What? Right. So the Gemara says like this. We'll finish up this Gemara. So now we're asked. Hashda, now, Diyadina B'kviya Diyarcha, now that we know established in the calendar, Mayatiyayim Avdina Treyomi. So why today? In the year 2022, do we have to keep 2 days of Yontif? Answers the Gemara, Mishum Deshalchum Mitam, because they sent from there, Meretz Israel. Always hold the minig of your forefathers in your hands. Sometimes they'll make a gzera from the kings, vasila kukule, and they'll mess us up. So we hold 2 days out of what's called minig avoseichem biadechem. So today, people say, why should we keep 2 days? We know exactly when the calendar is. The answer is, that's the Masorah. So the big shaila is, what if you're a Ben Gullis who goes to Eretz Yisrael? How many days do you hold? I am Shum. Much ink has been spilled over that shaila. Everybody have an amazing, gewaldige day.